This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, March 30th, 2025. Enough. Am I enough?
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Isn't it just a glorious day to be part of God's creation? Amen. You know, that temp he was talking about, it's going up. It's going up at the end of the 70s this afternoon, so.
And you're wearing your Philly shirt.
Well, we are 2-0. We got to celebrate any chance we get, you know. Any chance we get. There we go. So it's good to be with each and every one of you this morning. Those online, those here in the sanctuary, amen and amen. So we want to start this morning by thanking John Gosman. I'll point over here because he was here first service. He's right over there. Thank you, John, for bringing the message last week. And
yeah,
definitely got thinking about
it. It was awesome.
Thinking about time we have and how we use it, yeah. And so we're in the middle of Lent, that season in the church when we prepare for the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a time when we look within, we look without, when we strengthen our relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with others, and even in ourselves. It's a time when we consider who we are and whose we are. The Lenten season, this Lenten season, our focus is on the theme, enough. Enough. And this morning, our question we're going to ask ourselves is, am I enough?
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being here today, for carving out time to be in community, to worship and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for those who are joining us online. I hope that you feel the love that's coming your way. As Alan said, we are one church, many locations. I got a little weepy this morning already, so I'm just going to have these here just in case. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for this day. It's a day that you've made. It's a day that you've set apart for us to be together, to hear your word of God, to acknowledge that you are holy, to proclaim your glory. And so, God, settle us in, whether it's right here or wherever we are online, that we might have some laser focus on you. Remove any distractions. We thank you for another day and for every breath we breathe. I pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody agreed and said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Am I enough? That's a good question, don't you think? It's a question that I think each and every one of us ask ourselves at one time or another. Maybe you're asking it right now. Or maybe it's an ongoing question for you in your life. Am I enough? You know, on the one hand, it's kind of a casual question, wondering if you got what it takes. On the other hand, it can be a deeply searching inquiry into the soul as we can contemplate who we are, who we're meant to be, and what we're meant to do. Am I enough?
The question is rather vague. Am I enough? Maybe we should be a little more specific. Am I smart enough? Am I attractive enough? Am I talented enough? Am I funny enough? Am I serious enough? Am I good enough? Am I hardworking enough? Am I faithful enough? Am I God-seeking enough? Am I prayerful enough? Am I? Am I generous enough? The questions go on and on, but they really all boil down to the same question, am I enough?
You know, the funny thing is, these questions are prompted by Satan. Remember in the Garden of Eden, after eating the fruit, and God asked, you know, where are you? I love that. Like he didn't know. Hello. But he did know, but he asked the question because he wants to hear it from Adam. Where are you? You know, where and Adam says that he was afraid, and he was hiding from God because he was naked. And you know, naked means more than just no clothes. He's now vulnerable. Now that he's eaten the fruit, he's naked in all respects, emotionally, spiritually, physically. I was having, because I was naked. And God then asks, who told you that you were naked? See, God didn't tell him, did he? No. Because that's not who God is. God doesn't try to shame us. Doesn't try to embarrass us. Doesn't condemn us. You know, when Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you, the woman at the well, I came to give you new life. I didn't come to condemn you. No, that's not God. That's not how God works. That's the work of Satan. Just like Satan is the one who wants us to question our worth, our value, our self-worth, Satan always wants us to be unsure, to question what God has put together here. Because if Satan can get us to ask these questions about ourselves, it's not going to take much more for Satan, for us to ask the question of others, and especially God.
So if Satan can get us to ask these questions, it will lead to feelings of inadequacy. It leads to inferiority complex. It leads to comparing ourselves to others. Wow, that's dangerous. We should never do that. And social media just presses us in on that. That is so not good. God made each of us sufficient. You are enough. We do not need to compare ourselves against things, people, situations around us. Instead of focusing on what Satan wants us to believe about ourselves, let's take a look at what Scripture says, what the Word of God, the truth, says about the God, the Creator, who made each one of us. Psalm 139, written by David. We're going to take a look at verses 13 and 14. Some of you might know this one. For you, Lord, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So we're going to take this apart a little bit and look a little bit deeper.
So God created each and every one of us unique. And unique's an interesting word, because I've heard somebody say, you know, that was very unique. That doesn't make sense. Either it's one of a kind, or that's what unique means, one of a kind. You can't be very one of a kind. You're one of a kind, but each and every one is one of, even twins who are identical are not identical. Even, you know, it's like snowflakes. No two of the billions are ever alike. Each one of us is a unique creation. The billions, just think how creative God is. Billions and billions of people, unique, not to be duplicated, one of a kind. God created each of us, every one of us, and listen carefully. God don't make no junk. Amen. And I know some of you are cringing, you know, oh, the English teacher. No, I was an English teacher. It's okay. I got professional permission. Because two negatives can make a positive, or they can emphasize the negative. God don't make junk. No, oh, that's good. Terry's saying it with me. God don't make no junk. Yeah. So what does that mean then? Fearfully and wonderfully. We use that a lot. You've heard that expression, right? That psalm. Fearfully. And you think, wait a minute. Fearful. Well, here's what Lori Stanley Roelofeld, something like that, she shares with us in an article from Christianity.com. I love what she says here. The word in Hebrew is yay. Yeri. It's translated fearfully, but it isn't about being scared, but rather about being in the presence of what is sacred, sacred, set apart for God, special for God. This type of, quote, fear is like the sense of awe or astonishment that overcomes us in a magnificent cathedral. We were in England last year, St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Oh my goodness, if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking. If you haven't, you got to get there someday. I mean, it's just, it's breathtaking. It's awe-inspiring because you just feel of God in there. Or staring out at a great range of mountains at sunrise, or I'm going to flip that over the Grand Canyon at sunrise. We were out there a few years ago. Oh my gosh, it's like breathtaking. Or when holding a newborn. And that's probably, of all of these, the most, the most of all of them, that feeling, if you know what I'm talking about. Fearfully made means there's a mysterious awesomeness. We throw that around too easy, don't we?
We
awesome.
Do.
Oh, wow, that spaghetti was awesome. Yeah, well, it was. But, you know, awesomeness about calling an individual into being. We aren't cranked out on a human conveyor belt like widgets in God's great soul factory. Each of us is crafted. You know, you go in a store and it says handcrafted. If it's true, that means each one was made individually, was prepared, you know, with a part of the Creator in it. That's what crafted means, handcrafted by God in His image, but also specifically designed to be who we are, to fulfill the purpose God has planned for us. Wow.
So that's fearfully. Let's take a look at wonderfully made. Wonderfully made, translated from the Hebrew word pela, reinforces the notion of our individual craftsmanship and purpose. This phrase means we are created distinct, set apart, or distinguished from other creations. The first thing to understand about this is our distinction from all other created beings. Humans are the climax of God's creation. We are set apart from all elements, vegetation, animal life, and even from the angels. God's love for humans and His redemptive involvement in our story, God's writing our story, is unique in all creation.
You know what hit me while you were reading that is we're set apart, but it's not to take advantage of, to abuse or destroy what's around us. It's to glorify God and to edify others, to lift up others. That's why we're created in that way. Each of us individually crafted, specifically designed to be you. God designed you to be exactly, not to be that guy or who that guy, it's you, made with a purpose and for a purpose. It didn't just happen. You were crafted in God's image. That's what we're told in Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Wow. Image of God. Latin for this is Imago Dei. It's an expression it used, Imago Dei, to remind us. That we are unique as human beings, that we were crafted in the image of God. Christianity.com tells us that Imago Dei, the image of God, signifies the symbolic connection between God and humanity. It does not imply that God is in human form, although years later, in Christ, He was in human form. But it's to imply that humans are in the image of God in their moral, spiritual, intellectual sense. Here's what they continue. Thus, humans reflect God's divine nature. in their ability to achieve the unique characteristics with which they've been endowed. These unique qualities make humans different from all other creatures. Rational understanding. We have a brain that allows us to think beyond anything else. Creative liberty. We have that image of we're able to be creative. We make new things. We have this capacity for self-actualization. I can sit there and think about me. Who am I? I don't think the animal world sits there and contemplates who they are, what they're about. Why did these questions say? Why did God make me? We self-actualize. And the potential for self-transcendence. I can go beyond myself. I can care not just about me, but about you, and most especially about God of all creation. That's what separates us. That's what puts us in the image of God.
Imago Dei, the image of God, that allows humans to be the creatures through whom which God's plans and God's purposes can be made known and realized. Humans differ from all other creatures, as Alan said, because we do have the capacity for deliberation and freedom in decision making. And you know, that freedom can get us in trouble, can it? This freedom that makes us in God's image is the same freedom that can cause us to separate from God. We saw that in the fall of Adam and Eve. And so this Imago Dei freedom, we can choose to either live our lives for God, with God, or not. We can choose to glorify him and walk it out trying to be in likeness of him, or not. When we take a look at the Genesis story of creation, you've got days 1 through 6, and it's just amazing what God creates day 1. And, you know, remember, day 1 isn't, you know, the 24 hours that we know of, but, you know, it's a God thing. But at the end of day 6, he created humans, right? So when he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, he said it was good. When he created the animals, all the vegetation, he said it was good. When he created human beings, what did he say? Very good. Very good. And so humans are set apart from everything else that God made. God's love for us, for you, for me, God's redeeming involvement in our continuing story. Your story's not over. God's writing your story. You're unique, unlike anything, anyone else in all of God's creation.
And then coupled with the question, am I enough, is the question, am I doing enough? And you got to ask the question, doing enough for what? To make God love you? Here's the thing we must always remember, we must never forget. There's nothing we can do to earn God's love. And we certainly don't deserve God's love. And that's because God's love isn't about us. It's about God, pure and simple. God is love. It's like an equal sign. God equals love, pure and simple. God is love. And here's an important thing to never forget, no matter what we do or don't do. God cannot love us any more, and God won't love us any less. Let me say that again. God, no matter what we do or don't do, God can't love us anymore, and God won't love us any less.
We're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And so as these verses in 2 Corinthians remind us, God is able to bless us abundantly and does. God is ready to overwhelm us with grace, so much so that we can't even fathom it. It's so much. I want more. God just throws it on us. God gives us everything we need and everything we want. I've got to remember this. I was on Amazon yesterday, Alan, and we're getting more packages tomorrow. Do I really need it? Gosh, no. I might look good in that blouse, though. But anyway, with God, we have enough. We are enough.
Back in 1987, April 1987.
Devin was only 2 years old.
That's right. And Turner was just a twinkle in the eye. We went on a weekend retreat known as a walk to Emmaus. So how many here have been on a walk to Emmaus?
A lot.
You know, there's a women's walk right now. One of our own, Nancy Mishler, is on that walk. Please keep her in that weekend in prayer. And you know, there's a youth version called Chrysalis. How many as kids went on Chrysalis? Look, now they're adults. Look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Our kids all went as kids. Yeah. And if you want to know about this more, talk to us. Talk to Sheldon and Andrea. For those who haven't been, it's a 72-hour retreat focusing on God and God's grace, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's refreshing, renewing, restoring, revitalizing, all those R words, you know. And many people find Jesus or find a much deeper relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit as a result of these weekends. And the reason I'm bringing all this up, there's some memorable expressions. There's some expressions that you hear over and over on these weekends. And one I think is very appropriate for us this morning, because we often hear there, God loves you just the way you are. Just think about that. God loves you just as you are. That's comforting, isn't it? God loves you just as you are, but... but too much to leave you that way. God loves you just as you are, but too much to leave you that way. You know, this follows what we said earlier. God loves you. Nothing you can do to change that. God loves you just like you are, but too much to leave you there.
Because God wants each one of us to continue to walk in this life that we have, going deeper in understanding of who he is, the Imago Dei, to reflect. And until I take my last breath on this earth, and you too, we just keep seeking God, going deeper in his word, learning about him, being in community together. We're never done. It's so beautiful. Our story just continues. But this saying is, God loves you just the way you are, but too much to leave you that way. You know, when we're in this image of God, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that God loves us so much that he wants to change and transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit to move closer and closer to reflect the image of God, the image of Christ. And so God is not done working on any of us. That's such good news. God is never going to say, I'm done with you. Sometimes we say, I'm done with you, God. Or we put our life on pause and walk. But God is always saying, hey, come on. I'm never done with you. And all this is to get back to what this whole message is about. God is enough. And when we're in God's hands, we're enough. You're enough. Because Jesus is enough.
The Apostle Paul spoke of this in his letter to the church at Ephesus, better known as the book of Ephesians, the second part of the Bible, the New Testament. Here's what Paul wrote, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. This is the New International Version. For it is by grace. You know what grace is, right? That's what we get, what we don't deserve.
Which is unconditional love.
God's unconditional love. By God's unconditional love, you've been saved through faith. It's always by faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift. Now, if it's truly a gift, you don't earn it, do you? You don't pay for it. It's given without any expectation. It's here. Here. It's a gift of God. You can't work to get it. Not works. There's no works here to get salvation. So no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. It's not for salvation, but that's our thank you for what we've received, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's got a purpose and a plan, and that's part of it. Doing the plan is just fulfilling God's mission here. Fulfilling God's mission.
So I'm going to go off script a little bit.
Well, that's unusual. How many are surprised?
We talk about saved. We talk about salvation. Some of you might be like, well, what are you talking about?
Here we go. Wait a minute. I'll give you a big space here.
God loves you so much. God created you for a purpose and a plan. And we hear about God. We know about God. You do because you're here. You're hearing. But we've got to take it from here to here and say, okay, God, I love you back. But then there's another part of that. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for those things that I do that separate me from you. Sin. In the middle of S-I-N-N, what is that letter? That's where we get in trouble. When I become the center of my own universe instead of God. And so every day, I go back to God and say, I'm sorry, please help me walk it out in likeness of you. But when we are saved, it's when we say, okay, I surrender my life. You're my Lord, not my job, not my kids, not my spouse, not my paycheck, not my title, but it's you, Lord. And our value comes from the Lord. And so we say, I surrender and I confess to you that I believe in you and I am sorry for what I have done, am doing, and will do. But I accept that you've redeemed me. You've traded your life. You've made me new. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That is what it looks like. If you've never talked to God about salvation, that's it. Now, you might not feel a lightning bolt and say, oh my gosh, I'm saved. I didn't. But I just have this certainty, this assurance. I know he loves me. I know it. Other people have things pretty radical. Not me. I just trust. I'm saved by faith in him. If you have any question about that, don't leave today without talking to somebody. We're here. Audra, wave your hand. You're in the back. You are ready to pray with anybody. Come up on your knees when we're singing the last song. Talk to God. But I just felt like I was, that the Lord wanted me to share that with you today. I've only got like 10 weeks left to say this stuff, so I'm going to give it to you every week, you know? All right. For those of you new, we're retiring, and you've got an awesome pastor coming in. His name's David Laser, but we're going to give it to you every Sunday until he gets here. Back to enough. Sorry, Alan.
That's fine.
I'm enough. You're used to it. I'm enough. You're enough. We are enough to do what God intends us to do. You have been made equipped and ready for whatever God wants you to do. And it might be as simple or as hard as walking into your job tomorrow when it's a hostile environment and just knowing that your value comes from the Lord and not from your circumstance. Wherever we are, you are enough and God will give you what you need. With Jesus on our side, in our hearts, with the saving grace, grace is unconditional love, the blood and body sacrificed for us, redeemed. He bought us back to relieve us of the debt that we've racked up through our sin. We are more than enough. You are more than enough. We're enough to glorify God. That's what we need to do, glorify him with our lives. Just by the way we behave out there and lift up others who are around us. Mm. Be the good news.
Mm. And how do we know this? How do we know what Carrie's been talking about? Because when Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we are enough. And that's because he is enough. You know, it's not how we stack up against those around us. It's not us against them. Pure and simple, it's Jesus and Jesus alone that's our measure. And since Jesus is enough, that makes us enough. When we believe he died for us, when we believe he is our salvation, when we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life.
Keep going with 17.
Huh?
Keep going with verse 17. For God did not condemn the world.
Go ahead.
But he came to save the world. That's you. He's not a condemning God. He just wants us to walk it out in likeness of him.
That's enough. That's enough. That's all we need. I believe that. Do you? Do you? Do you believe that with Jesus, you are enough? Because you are. You are. You are. That's the good news. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's pray. Most holy God, wow. We often try to compare with others, and you know, if we base it on that, we'll always find somebody better some way or other. We'll not measure up when we do those kind of comparisons. That's not what we're to compare to. God, you gave us what we need, all that we need to be who and what you want us to be in Christ. Help us to never look around, but to look up, Lord, and to know that we are enough. We're more than enough when we know that Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that's because he is enough. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. All those gathered this morning said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.